All week, we've been hearing about immigrants from Seattle working in the fishing industry in present-day Alaska. But the industry also has a long history that includes violence and tragedy in Seattle. Felix Bunnell has the story.
On Monday, June 1st, 1981, Seattle's Cairo TV reported a shooting in Pioneer Square.
The shots were fired right around a quarter of five this evening, shots that apparently were not heard by anyone else. The two victims were inside the union office.
The office was the headquarters of Local 37 of the International Longshoremen's and Warehousemen's Union. Local 37 was the union for cannery workers in Alaska. Then, as now, Alaska was a destination for immigrants seeking their fortune. Local 37 had been struggling for years to improve conditions for Filipino workers, known as Alaskeros. But the industry was mired in corruption.
Police say the man who made it to the sidewalk was the union secretary treasurer. He was conscious when the medics arrived and taken to Harborview for emergency surgery. The man inside the office was dead at the scene. Police say he was the union dispatcher.
Dead was 29-year-old Gene Viernes. Mortally wounded was Silmi Domingo, also 29.
We were young people at that time, and Gene and Silmi were both part of, you know, Asian identity movement at the time.
Terry Mast is the widow of Silmi Domingo and mother of their two daughters. She says that Domingo and Viernes were young Filipino Americans working to reform the cannery union.
And going to Alaska after their fathers and seeing the conditions hadn't really changed a lot. And the discrimination continuing up there is what really fostered us to start a reform movement, or them, really, the young Filipinos in the industry, wanting to change the conditions.
When the two men were elected as union officers in early 1981, they started to make changes. Their reforms shook up what had been decades of corruption and rubbed some people the wrong way. Before Domingo died, he told police who carried out the attack. Two members of Tulasan, a Filipino gang that profited from union corruption. The men Domingo named were convicted of murder and sentenced to life in prison without parole. But Mast and other family and friends weren't satisfied that the murders were only about Tulasan or that all the culprits had been held accountable. So in 1982, they formed a group called the Committee for Justice. Their efforts led to the conviction of the cannery union president. But the conspiracy went even further.
Domingo's sister Cindy and others claim the slayings were political, that the men were killed because they opposed Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos.
The Tulasan gang did actually carry out the hit, but they did not initiate it. They simply fulfilled the murder contract put out by Marcos.
The Committee for Justice sued Ferdinand Marcos. Marcos had been overthrown and was living in exile in Hawaii with his wife, Imelda. The committee prevailed, and a judge found Marcos liable for the murders.
This is the first time in U.S. judicial history a foreign head of state has ever been held liable for the murder of U.S. citizens on U.S. soil. The first and only time.
Mike Withey is a Seattle attorney and part of the committee that won the lawsuit against Marcos. He sees the murders in the context of local labor history, a history that includes a 1936 shooting of a Filipino cannery union president and other violence that goes back more than a century.
So it's understanding the history of unionism, particularly in this town, where the International Workers of the World and the Wobblies were united, where they had the Seattle General Strike. And, you know, when the Wobblies went up and supported the shingle weavers up in Everett, they got massacred.
Withey says that the Marcos government saw the cannery union activists as a threat, particularly after Gene Viernes traveled to the Philippines and met with activists there a few weeks before the murders.
They thought their struggle here was the same as Philippine laborers who were trying to get recognition, collective bargaining rights, the right to strike against some of the same employers in the Philippines. So I think that's what cost them their lives, was reaching out to the Philippines and being spokespeople for their rights, particularly within the International Longshore and Warehousemen's Union.
35 years later, the legacy of Silmi Domingo and Gene Viernes is hard to quantify. The fishing industry in Alaska has undergone radical change. Many of the canneries are gone, and most seafood gets processed and frozen offshore by non-unionized crews aboard fishing boats. But the sacrifice made by the two is clear to Mike Withey.
People in labor should realize that people have paid a lot. They've suffered a lot. They've paid their lives.
For Terry Mast, the men live on in the work of the union.
Well, I think the legacy has been to continue their work and to make changes in the industry and in the union and to keep the union alive. And their memory and the work that they did, I think that. And their leadership and what they left, you know, what they gave to the rest of us.
After the murders, Terry Mast made a career of union leadership. She's now National Secretary Treasurer of the Inland Boatmen's Union, and one of her and Silmi Domingo's daughters is a union organizer. But the legacy is also just personal.
I think for most of us, that's what they were. I mean, they were our friends. They were our partners. You know, they were our family. So I don't think we think of them as anything more than that, really.
I'm Felix Bunnell for KUOW.